At the mention of the Quagmire triplets, all three Baudelaires felt a stiffening of their resolve, a phrase which here means realize that they had to search the penthouse for Gunther, even though it was a scary thing to do. The children remembered how hard Duncan and Isadora had worked to save them from Olaf's clutches back at Prufrock Preparatory School, doing absolutely everything they could to help the Baudelaires escape Olaf's evil plan. The Quagmires had sneaked out in the middle of the night and put themselves in grave danger. The Quagmires had put on disguises, risking their lives in order to try to fool Olaf, and the Quagmires had done a lot of researching, finding out the secret of BFD, although they had been snatched away before they could reveal the secret to the Baudelaires. Violet, Klaus, and Sunny thought about the two brave and loyal triplets, and knew they had to be just as brave and loyal, now that they had an opportunity to save their friends. "You're right," Klaus said to Violet, and Sunny nodded in agreement. "We have to search the penthouse, but it's such a complicated place. I get lost just trying to find the bathroom at night. How can we search without getting lost?"
"Hansel," Sunny said.
The two older Baudelaires looked at one another. It was rare that Sunny said something that her siblings couldn't understand, but this seemed to be one of those times.
"Do you mean we should draw a map?" Violet asked.
Sunny shook her head.
"Gretel,"
she said. "That's two times we don't understand you," Klaus said.
"Hansel and Gretel? What does that mean?"
"Oh,"
Violet cried suddenly.
"Hansel and Gretel means Hansel and Gretel. You know, there's two dim-witted children in that fairy tale."
"Of course," Klaus said. "That brother and sister who insist on wandering around the woods by themselves."
"Leaving a trail of breadcrumbs,"
Violet said, picking up a piece of toast from the breakfast tray Jerome had brought them,
"so they don't get lost. We'll crumble up this toast and leave a few crumbs in every room so we know we've already searched it. Good thinking, Sunny."
"Blast,"
Sunny said modestly, which meant something like, "It's nothing." And I'm sorry to say she turned out to be right. For as the children wandered from bedroom to living room to dining room to breakfast room to snack room to sitting room to standing room to ballroom to bathroom to kitchen to those rooms that seemed to have no purpose at all and back again, leaving trails of toast crumbs wherever they went, Gunther was nowhere to be found. They looked in the closets of each bedroom and the cabinets in each kitchen, and even pulled back the shower curtains in each bathroom to see if Gunther was hiding behind them. They saw racks of clothes in the closets, cans of food in the cabinets, and bottles of cream rinse in the shower, but the children had to admit, as the morning ended, and the Baudelaire's own trail of crumbs led them back to Violet's room, that they had found nothing.
"Where in the world can Gunther be hiding?" Klaus asked. "We've looked everywhere."
"Maybe he was moving around," Violet said. "He could have been in a room behind us all the time, jumping into the hiding places we already checked."
"I don't think so," Klaus said. "We surely would have heard him if he was clomping around in those silly boots. I don't think he's been in this penthouse since last night. Esme insists that he left the apartment, but the doorman insists that he didn't. It doesn't add up."
"I've been thinking that over," Violet said. "I think it might add up. Esme insists that he left the penthouse. The doorman insists that he didn't leave the building. That means he could be in any of the other apartments at 667 Dark Avenue.
"You're right," Klaus said.
"Maybe he rented one of the apartments on another floor as a headquarters for his latest scheme."